The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The word of God we want to consider today is again our epistle reading for this past Sunday, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. We're looking at Hebrews 12, verses 18 to 24 again. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. My dear friends in Christ, when a Christian is getting little or no nourishment from God's word, the tendency that occurs is that that person is inclined, instead of looking to Christ, to his grace and love and the forgiveness of sins, the temptation is for that person to look instead to himself and his own deeds and his own actions and think about how he lives his life and thinks that that's what's going to matter when he stands before God on Judgment Day. We start to think that even though we are sinners, that we really aren't that bad, especially when we compare ourselves to others. And if we start thinking that, then, as we said yesterday, then we're choosing the wrong mountain. We'd be choosing Mount Sinai over Mount Zion. Our reading says, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them." Oh, think of the scene at Mount Sinai when the Israelites received God's laws. Well, God, through Moses, had said to the people, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." When the people heard that, they replied, "We will do everything the Lord has said." But when the Lord descended on Mount Sinai, so that that mountain trembled and quaked and was covered with smoke and fire like a furnace, the people were scared to death. Our reading says, they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." What had happened is that those people who had just said, "We will do everything the Lord has said," they realized that they were sinful human beings who couldn't do everything the Lord has said. That's why they couldn't just walk up to Mount Sinai and be comfortable in God's presence. That's why they were terrified. Mount Sinai was a mountain that they did need to go to, but it wasn't a place for them to stay. And that's because it offered them no message of comfort at all. And yet, the readers of this letter, they were tempted to go back to Sinai and to focus on Mount Sinai. Certainly they thought that, well, humanly speaking, maybe they would be safer in their old way of life and safe with their Jewish families. They didn't have the fear of persecution like they did as people who believed in the promises of God. And the law does, in a sense, kind of offer a seeming comfort, as the rich young ruler who came to visit Jesus thought at first. He heard the commandments and he said to Jesus, "All these I have kept since I was a boy." But when Jesus let the law do its work of terrifying the sinner, then it says that that young man went away sad. He went away sad because he came to realize that he didn't love God first in his life. He loved his possessions more than he loved God. Well, through the preaching of the law, that young man came to see that he was a sinner. He knew that if he approached Mount Sinai and expected to be accepted by God, he'd be struck down by God's thunder and lightning if he was trusting in himself. We all need to visit Mount Sinai repeatedly in this life, because the fact is that we're often tempted to think that maybe we aren't that bad, that we really don't deserve eternal punishment in hell, at least not as much as some people do in this world, like the terrorists and like those shooters who are going on shooting sprees and going to schools and movie theaters and political rallies. We see that happening all too often. We'd be inclined to say, well, at least we're not like those murderers and rapists. But Scripture says there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can't go to Mount Sinai and expect to be accepted by God on the basis of our deeds, on the basis of the law. Mount Sinai and God's law, it really only reminds us that we are sinners who desperately need help. How thankful we have to be that we don't have to look to Mount Sinai and the law for our salvation. We'd be lost. We can instead look to Mount Zion, and what our Savior all did for us to win heaven for us. What a blessing to look to Mount Zion and our Savior and his love. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, it's easy to focus primarily on this life, on our temporary home. Help us always, as we live our earthly lives and carry out our daily responsibilities in this life, to focus on our real eternal home, on heaven, and to know that heaven has been won for us by Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always.